Quote, Paul Valery, 1964.
We must expect great innovations to transform the entire technique of the arts, thereby affecting artistic invention itself, and perhaps even bringing about an amazing change in our very notion of art.
In order to understand the way that the pursuit of perfection has affected the way that music has been recorded and performed, we must first look at how music has been recorded throughout history. For most of history, music has been recorded purely through notation, that is, writing down instructions telling other people how it should be played. This, of course, leaves many things open to interpretation. It means that one person's rendition of a song could differ quite greatly to someone else's. This, of course, changed quite dramatically with the introduction of recorded sound. First on wax cylinders, then onto wax discs. Now, these earliest forms of recording were purely mechanical, and the recording and playback were essentially mirrors of one another. That is, in order to record a sound, you played that sound as loud as you could into the horn of a gramophone, and the recording needle would cut the resulting vibrations into a disc. And in order to play it back, you would run a different type of needle across those grooves with the vibrations created coming back through the horn to the listener. Now, these early recordings were very low fidelity and suffered from being very directional in the way that they were recorded, in that whatever was directly in front of the horn would be recorded reasonably well, but as soon as you went slightly off axis, you would get far lower volume. This meant that if you were recording anything other than a single person talking, or maybe someone playing a single instrument, it would be very difficult to capture the entire performance. Because of this, these were mainly novelty items, something that a rich person would be able to pull out at a party to wow their friends. Now, with the introduction of microphones and amplifiers, this was then able to greatly improve the quality of the recordings, though they were still made mechanically. But this time, the grooves in the record were being controlled by the electrical signals created. Now, this meant that one could set up the recording beforehand, make sure that levels were right, make sure that one person wasn't louder than the other, all of those things. But it was still a recording of a single live performance directly onto a master disc. Now, these discs still had all the hallmarks of that type of recording, the certain crackling, the background noise, the sort of thing that if it were to be played over the radio, people would definitely be able to tell that it was not a live performance, but one that was being played back from a record. The real sea change for the music industry, though, came after World War II, with the German invention of recording to magnetic tape. These recordings were almost indistinguishable from live performance, and also opened up the possibility of recording multiple tracks at different times. This was really the birth of what today we think of if someone talks about studio recordings. Now, this substantial increase in sonic fidelity led to a sudden demand for recordings of high-quality music. Now, the most in-demand music at the time were things such as big bands and orchestras. Of course, the downside to wanting to record a symphony orchestra is that you need a space that can accommodate a symphony orchestra. This led to the search for rooms that had the perfect acoustics. Now, not the perfect acoustics for a performance. There were already plenty of those. People had been going to orchestras for centuries, after all. But no, this was a search for a room that had the right acoustics so that the orchestra would sound as good as possible when it was being recorded. This led to the conversion of large spaces such as churches or factories, whatever could be found that had the right sort of sound when you started recording in it. And of course, that depended on how the sound was being reflected off the walls and how that sound was then being picked up by the microphones that were being used. This, of course, also meant that in order to have a really good functioning recording studio, you needed a vast amount of capital to invest in it at the beginning. This put recording music well outside the purview of the general public, quite different to how it was with those early wax discs. This increase in fidelity also led to a direct impact on the way that performers were performing their music. Susan Schmidt-Horning quotes a violinist as saying,
"This is going to make me go home and practice a hell of a lot more. I can hear all my mistakes."
She goes on to explain that just as musicians were adjusting their performance after hearing it back and wanting it to be better than it was, all of the acoustic treatment that was being made to the halls and rooms they were recording in was forcing musicians to adjust their performance even more, depending on where they were, how the sound was bouncing, and how it was coming back in the recorded product. And the change to magnetic tape opened up far more doors than just higher quality, because it finally allowed multi-track recording, meaning that you could record the drums first, then the bass, then the guitar, then an extra guitar, all sorts of things. It opened up the whole world of recording as we see it today. The only downside to this was that you had a limited number of tracks based on the physical size of the tape. This led to producers coming up with the concept of bouncing a recording down to a single track. That is, that they would take all the tracks already recorded and record them down onto a single track, which then couldn't be edited anymore, but it would free up all of the previous tracks to record additional overdubs. This became very popular with bands such as The Beatles, Queen, and Pink Floyd. Consider that an album like The White Album by The Beatles, which sometimes features dozens upon dozens of different instrument tracks, was recorded on a four-track recorder. Development of digital recording techniques, which started out in the mid-70s but didn't really become popular until the mid-90s, really solved this problem, as you could use essentially an infinite number of tracks and not have any generational loss of quality. Along with this, the introduction of digital storage media, such as compact discs, meant that you could finally have a released product that sounded exactly the same in your home on your stereo as it did in the mixing room when the people were actually making the album. Now, many people have the misconception that a digital recording cannot contain all the subtle nuance that an analog recording can. And in the purest sense, that is technically true, if humans had an unlimited hearing range. But we don't. We hear between the ranges of around 20 hertz up to around 20 kilohertz. In fact, most people can't hear anywhere near that high, but that's about as high as human hearing goes. And as the Nyquist-Shannon sampling theorem tells us, if we're dealing with a band-limited system, such as human hearing, then as long as we have double the frequency that we are trying to record, we will be able to reproduce every nuance in the analog recording that is capable of being heard by humans. Now, this basically takes us to the point where we are today, technologically, accepting the fact that now things have become even easier, more accessible, and more easy to distribute around the world. With these tools at the fingertips of literally millions of bedroom producers around the world, the art of music production is back in the hands of the public. In his book, Capturing Sound, Mark Katz writes that
it is not simply the technology, but the relationship between the technology and its users that determines the impact of recording. The technology of sound recording, writ large, has profoundly transformed modern musical life.
For most of the history of recorded music, the development of its technology has been in trying to capture the most authentic sounds that we could. Now, having reached the limits of what the human ear can distinguish, the focus of the technology is in eliminating the flaws inherent in human artistry, to no longer capture the best performance, but to create the perfect one.